The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 468. On the podcast today, I have the managing director of Barclay Energy, or Barclay Energia. Ticket code BKY. I say that because it's based in Spain. The uranium mine they're developing is in Spain. And when I'm looking for companies, right, to invest in, I like big claims to fame. And Barclay has a lot of those, quite a few of those. And one of them is it's going to be the biggest uranium-producing mine in Europe and top 10 in the world. And we go through more stats there. But I urge you to put this on your watch list. And Paul will talk about why. He'll give you three reasons at the end of the interview to put it on your Vox Markets app watch list. And I've got to say, I hold some stock in this company now. I like it. I know a lot of people are into this. And I think going forward, this has potential. You know. But listen, do your own research. I'm not giving any tips here. What I'm saying is, use this this podcast as a stepping stone to investment ideas. Not every idea works out, so please do your own research, take responsibility for your research, and make a decision. But I would, if I were you, put it on your watch list at least. But listen to Paul's reasons why. Also, another company, very interesting. I've had a lot of requests to get these guys on the podcast, and it's going to happen back in January, I think it was. It didn't actually happen, but now they're on today. I got the CEO of Highland Natural Resources, HNR, Robert Price, very nice guy, and Paul Mendel. They discussed their refracking technology. It's called DT Ultravert and other assets, and it's a way of refracking horizontal wells, which up until now hasn't been very successful. Hopefully, their tech can do this. So that's HNR. Check it out. And like I said, also, Robert will give three reasons why you should put them on your watch list. Also on the podcast, today's penny stock with potential suggested by yourselves there. And today's suggested by Stan. Get involved, please. I think I'm coming to the end of my list here, so I need some more suggestions. But today, it's Evgen Pharma, ticker EVG. Don't forget to get the app, voxmarkets.co.uk/
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Managing Director of Barclay Energy. It's BKY is a ticker. Paul Atherley. Paul, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure, Justin.
Or should I say, is it Barclay Energia?
Your Spanish is very, very good. That's correct.
Well, I can do one word. But I say that it's in Spanish because, of course, your mine you're about to talk about is in Spain. And I know a lot of guys who hold stock with your company, and these guys are good investors. And so I've known about you for a bit. But so it's nice to get you on the podcast because I've not had a lot of time to do some research. So, in fact, for me and for other people, can you just give us a brief summary of what Barclay Energy is about, please, Paul?
Well, the reason why people have been buying the stock is, and the stock's performed very well since the middle of last year, as we've commenced development of a very, very large uranium project in Europe. It's the biggest in Europe, and there's a lot of excitement about bringing it into production.
Yeah, and it's in Spain. And what I like is I've read a couple of stats here. And when I'm looking at investing in companies, I always look at claim to fames. And I quite like those. And you've got quite a few here. First of all, it'll be the biggest developer of uranium in Europe. It's one of the top 10 mines in the world. And you'll be producing enough uranium there to power the UK energy needs for 5.5 years. That's some good stats there, isn't it?
Very much so. I mean, the significance of this, Europe's got 160 nuclear reactors, but no significant uranium mine. And we, after 10 years of development and spent $60 million, are bringing on stream a, as you say, a world-class uranium producer just at the right time.
And uranium, is that solely what it's used for, is to power these power stations?
Yes.
Okay. And so the price of uranium at the moment, has it suffered like other commodities?
Very much so. It's at the lowest it's been for many, many years, and that plays very much into our strength, is that even at right at the bottom of the cycle, we can make extremely good money out of this project, so we've got very, very low operating costs. And we're now looking at an environment in 2 years' time when we come into production. Many of the utilities which contract the uranium are coming out of contract from the period 2018 to 2022. 82% of them are uncovered. And these are guys that will be wanting to buy our uranium, and we're looking for much higher uranium prices during that period.
Yeah, I know I'm not an expert on mining, but I know, you know, to be a viable mine. It's better if you have sort of high grade resource there, quite close to surface if possible, and your operating costs then will be brought down. And you say you are will be a low cost producer. Is that right?
Yes, there's two things there. One is, as you correctly point out, we're a very, very low-cost producer. The current spot uranium price is around $28 a pound. The contract uranium price is about $44 a pound, and yet we can produce it at around $15.60. But the real win that goes with that is you'll often hear people talking about being low-cost producers, but they also can have a very high capital cost. Well, we've got a very low capital cost. We're one of the lowest capital costs uranium mines in the world. So we've got this rare combination of the two things, is low capex and low apex, and that's why it's very exciting for everybody.
Yeah, well, you know, and I was looking at a presentation there by, is it Hugo, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, and he was saying that their net present value of the mine there is equivalent to £1.31. Your share price at the moment is about 28 pence. So you can see the upside there, and your share register there is populated by some big names like BlackRock. So the way it's situated, it's going to help you in some way, because it's like you said, it's in Spain, and Spain was hit massively in the downturn of the financial crash. And you know, we had stats bandied about, like I think 50% of people aged from I think 18 to 25 were unemployed. So I suppose the Spanish authorities there are quite supportive of this development, are they?
Very much so. Going back to your early point, yeah, that's exactly right. Well, nearly all the analysts have got us valued at a pound or more. So we're sitting here at sort of 27, 28 pence. And on that basis, we've got a lot of institutional buying. And I think you've seen in the last few days quite large volumes going through. And these institutions, as we flagged in the presentation, are generalists. There are people like River Mercantile, BlackRock's UK small caps. These are the generalists who can see this as a pure development play. And then what will happen is the mining funds will come in later when it more fits into their model. So we're basically getting very strong support from the generalists who simply see, look, it's 28 pence now, it's worth a pound when you're in the production. That's a big uplift. On the second point you make about Spain, yes, exactly. Massive unemployment. We've got over 20,000 applicants for the first 200 jobs. We're running training courses that are hugely oversubscribed. And we had an event in one of the local villages last night, a community event, which was incredibly well attended and hugely supportive. I mean, we are going to dramatically change the economic landscape of a community that's suffered desertification over the last 50 years. And we're going to create people jobs, training and futures. It's a very exciting thing to do.
So obviously with any mine development, you need finance there. Was it about $81 million you need? Is that right?
That's correct. What we're saying is we need $100 million. That's $81 million to build it, and then working capital and the first fill and the first bit of money you need to actually put it in production. So we're saying $100 million overall, and we've got about $4.5 million in the bank. So clearly we've got a gap. We need to fund, and the way we're doing it, as we flagged in the quarterly, is we've really got a few elements to it. One is we've got a funding now to fund us between where we are today until towards the end of the year when we do the main funding. And that the near term one is almost certainly going to be from existing shareholders along the lines of a royalty or something along those lines. The main funding is the one that's described in the quarterly, where we talk about bringing in a strategic player. And the way that works in the uranium industry is a strategic player will come in and take something like, say, 20% of the project, could be more, could be less. We sell it to them, and then that gives us a big chunk of the $100 million that we need to fund our then 80% share of the project. So we dramatically reduce that $100 million requirement by selling down a bit of the project. But the beauty of selling down a bit of the project, we don't sell it at the current market cap value, we sell it at the closer to NPV. And the best example of this is the Chinese have just done this with a company called Fission Energy, where they pay twice the market cap for the company for a 20% stake, and gave Fission some of the development money they needed. So we flagged that in the quarterly, and I'll sort of draw your attention to it, is we don't need to go to the equity market to raise $100 million. We've got other sources of funding available to us.
Okay, and essentially, that is ongoing now? You're in talks with that and it's progressing?
Yeah, we've just had one of the, we've got quite a number of the industry groups. I've mentioned before, we've been inundated with approaches. We've had one of the industry groups is literally boots on ground. They've completed their due diligence and they put a team on site. They're just flying back to the Far East now. So, no, it's we're in that stage as we flag in the quarterly where parties are looking at us, and it's a very interesting stage for the company's development.
Yeah, and so like I said, at the moment, you know, NPV is over a pound, but you're looking to expand this resource, aren't you?
Yes, that's right. The reason why the project is worth what it is because we've half our deposit that we're developing is in a single deposit called Zona 7. And Zona 7, we think there could be more of them. So we're drilling for more Zona 7s. So put in simple terms is, if we find another Zona 7, each Zona 7 we find adds considerably to the NPV of the project.
Yeah. Okay. And so, looking forward now, I mean, what I want people to do is put you on their watch list. There's the Vox Markets app, and it's just all they need to do is press follow. But, you know, if you can give us three reasons, Paul, as to why you should think someone should put you on their watch list, go ahead there.
I think the number one reason is we're trading at 28 pence worth a pound. And we think by releasing news flow over the next 6 to 8 months, investors can very, very clearly see us unlocking, de-risking the project, the milestones we need to unlock that value. So it's a very easy story to see if we can unlock that £1 worth of value.
Okay, and like I said, if you can, to finish off, if someone follows you, what next bit of news can they expect over the next few months?
We have a thing called the Definitive Feasibility Study, which will come out in June, which again is in the quarterly we've announced, and hopefully that will confirm the capital and operating costs. And then we have these exploration results from the exploration program. We have offtake agreements. And then finally, we hopefully will bring one of these strategic discussions to the table with a view to some form of financing in September, October, ahead of a main construction commencing towards the end of the year.
Marvellous. So a busy year ahead.
Yes.
Paul, it's been lovely to chat to you. And listen, like I said, you've got news coming up, so please come back on and chat some more when that news is out there.
Thank you very much for your time, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waits.
Joining me on the podcast right now is Paul Mendell and CEO Robert Price of Highland Natural Resources. That's HNR ticker. Guys, thank you for coming on.
Oh, Justin, it's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, listen, there's been a lot of interest in your stock for a while now. People saying, can you get these guys on the podcast? You know, a bit of anticipation. And then a couple of days ago, that interest peaked and because the share price shot up on a bit of a positive news release. But let's, first of all, let's go through what the company does for people who don't know about Highland Natural Resources. What are you guys about?
Well, Justin, we founded Highlands back in March of 2015, and we did it to take advantage of the opportunities that we see with the decrease in oil prices. Justin, many of the exploration and production companies, they're laden with debt. They're laden with they're having layoffs of people. Some of their bonds are being downrated. And Paul and I have been in the exploration and production company for over 3 decades. And it's a very unique time to start out with a fresh company that has funding through 2017. And we're looking at opportunities in the E&P area. And now, Justin, our first opportunity was to purchase a suite of patent filings. We call this DT Ultravert. DT Ultravert is a process to allow refracking of the many wells in the U.S. After we filed this group of patents, we entered into an agreement with Schlumberger, and we're in the process now, Justin, of in discussions with over 20 exploration and production companies where we're going to start to commercialize DT Ultravert. In fact, one of our first tests will be done in June in a place called the Piance Basin. It's part of western Colorado, eastern Utah, and we'll be doing with a E&P company and Schlumberger 6 of these tests.
Yeah, it's very interesting because I was looking at this, and this was the release that came out recently about this was Schlumberger, the tie-up here. And I've gone to, you know, your presentation there, and you're basically in four areas. But this diversion technology is very interesting. So how does it work? And I know, basically, if you can sort of use this technology, people don't have to drill another well, for example, which is very expensive. So it optimizes the current asset there, doesn't it, I suppose?
Yes, and Paul can talk about the technical part of the technology. It's it's method patents, and today many E&P companies, because they're laden with debt, they can't afford to drill new wells. So their only chance in trying to increase profitability is to going in old wells that. And try to refrac them using diverters. And if Paul could explain a little bit about our diverter, how it's different from other diverters, and how it works together with some of those diverters.
Okay.
Sure. Justin, basically, refracking horizontal wells has been challenging to the industry. We've tried it over 100 times. It can work, but the results have been inconsistent. And the reason for that is when you have already produced oil from fractures, and then you try to frack again, the fluid, which is basically water, just re-stimulates the areas that have already been depleted, as opposed to contacting new rock, making new fractures. So the E&P industry challenged the service industry, which is really just Halliburton and Schlumberger, to come up with some kind of solution. And their solution was something called a diverter. And these diverters are polymers, they're solid materials, they're like fibers, and they're pumped along with the water with the idea of blocking the old cracks. But again, the results have been inconsistent. And I won't get into the too technical because I think that might bore people. But our diverter is an entirely new concept in diversion. It uses gas. Gas is still a fluid, but it's a different phase of fluid. And by combining phases, something very interesting happens, and it will divert the water and force it to contact new rock.
Okay, so as far as revenue is concerned, how does this work? Where does the revenue come from?
Well, that's the nice thing about the DT Ultravert patent filings. Our agreement with Schlumberger provides us to receive a 3% royalty on these services. Now, there's certain deducts for third-party costs, but we will get a CapEx royalty revenue stream. So every well that's drilled, we get 3% of the services provided by Schlumberger.
Okay, and how many places or fields or wells or companies are you in talks with at the moment as regards this?
Yeah, well, we do know that the first tests are going to be done in June in the Piceance Basin. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, there's many basins throughout the U.S., both in the Permian, the DJ, the Williston, and so forth. We're in discussions with these other companies. It's going to be tried in many basins, and it's a bit of a tipping point. Assuming it works, and we're hopeful, there could be a lot of tests happening very quickly.
Okay, and so when you start this test, how long before you know if it's successful?
Oh, almost immediately, Paul. I mean, you frack it, you flow back. We should be having results in June, July, August, September, and beyond.
Yeah. And it's funny, I talk to companies, and this companies, you know, in this oil environment or this commodity price environment, fall into two camps. The companies that have been hammered down and are struggling, like you mentioned, the companies like yourself who are now taking advantage of that area here. So you have, you know, other things going on as well, but is the diversion technology, is that the primary focus right now?
Yeah, it's really exciting, and it has a bit of a life of its own, but that doesn't mean, Justin, that we should stop there. We're seeing these struggling E&P companies making mistakes. I just put it bluntly. We've been able to acquire lands very inexpensively. For example, we acquired 1,900 acres in North Dakota where we have a wellbore that another company drilled, and we are now getting ready. We're working out the logistics of taking over the wellbore that they never perforated, and we're going to be able to perforate it. So it's about trying to keep our costs low, buying leases inexpensively in this environment. Justin, it's literally pennies on the dollar from what the E&P industry was spending over two years ago. And services have come down. So we're continuing to exploit those opportunities that we see.
Okay. And as far as, financing is concerned, I know you yourself there, you're aligned with shareholders because you have a big chunk of stock yourself there. How much does all this cost? And, do you need to raise money?
No. Right now, we did a raising yesterday or Tuesday, and we have funding to last us through 2017. And some of these projects that we are internally generating can be self-funding, and we can get partners in them on as well.
Okay, excellent. Marvelous.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for the time. And truly, it's an honor to be on your podcast, Justin.
Hey, listen, it's an honor to talk to you. And listen, before you go, though, the Vox Markets, we've got an amazing app where people just hit follow button, and any news you release via RNS will go straight to the front screen of their smartphone. So what I want to do is obviously try and get people to hit follow as much as possible. So if you can, guys, if you can come up with three reasons why you think an investor listening right now should hit follow on Highland Natural Resources, off you go, list them away.
Can I do 10 reasons, Justin?
I'm sure there's 10, but let's try and get the best three.
No, I would say CapEx free, royalty income, cheap entry fees for what could be impact deals. And those are my two. Those are my two. And I hope that's good enough, Justin. But anyway, we're really appreciative of your time, and we hope that your followers will have some interest in us. And if there's anything we can do for your followers through inquiries directly to me, Paul, it'd be our pleasure to address those directly too.
Yeah. And I think we should add there the fact that you are a big shareholder, aren't you? So, you want this to work as much as anyone else.
Yes, Justin. I to start the company, I put in over 600,000 pounds. I'm currently approximately a 40% shareholder in the company. And you bet I want this to work. Justin, okay. I believe that with these cycles up and down, we have the opportunity to start something really extraordinary now with the downturn of this industry. So this is a good opportunity for me in my professional career, for Paul, and I believe for our Highland shareholders.
Yeah. Well, listen, it won't be long until we have the test results from the trials. So I'll look forward to chatting to you again very soon, hopefully.
Justin, I would like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin.
Okay, today's suggested stock with potential is suggested by Stan. What, Stan? Yeah, I like the name Stan. Do you know what? It's a stand-up name, isn't it? Anyway, Stan suggested Evgen Pharma, EVG. Had them on the podcast. Yeah, very promising-looking stock. And another stock I'd say put on your watch list, What does the company do? It's biomedical. How many shares in issue? 73.2 million. What's the current price and market cap? It's around about 19.5p. 14 million market cap. How much cash or debt does the company have? Should have around 7 million plus in cash. It should have. So listen, do your own research, okay? There's three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, Q2 trials in SFX01 start phase two very soon. Reason two, strong management supported by oversubscribed IPO. And number three, fully funded. Yeah, hopefully we get Evgen back on the podcast very soon, because I know they've got an evolving story that is unraveling, interestingly. So we'll get them. That's Evgen, EVG. And like I said, if you think that was interesting, just go to the Vox Market app there, type in EVG, then follow on the app. and you'd get any news that's released by them sent to the front screen of your smartphone. That's it for the podcast today. Hope it provided value. If it did, please go to iTunes, look up the Vox Markets podcast, and give me a rating review if you can. The reason I'm up 137 five-star reviews, I want to get to 150 if I can. And so if you haven't done it, if you're listening to this right now and you haven't done it, please give me a review. I beg of you, please. And I will dedicate a podcast to you. I'll read out the review and give you a round of applause myself. All right, thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.